Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Great job. Matthew chapter 17 is a passage that is known as the Mount of Transfiguration. They use that word, Bible scholars, Bible commentaries, use that word from verse number 2, and was transfigured before them. They use that word as the explanation, if you will, for what is taking place in this passage, that the Lord is being transformed in front of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and that as Jesus reveals himself to these three disciples, that these three disciples then are transformed in what they believe about him. So the passage is the mount, or the mountain, of transfiguration. It's true that we will become like what we behold. That the more we look at something, the more we admire someone, the more we esteem certain people in our lives, we quickly and over time, we become like them. All the parents in the room can understand this, because all of the things that drive you crazy about your children are the areas where your children are most like you. I mean, the things in my kids that just drive me to the edge. Any parent in the room know what I'm talking about? The things that just drive me to the edge are the things in their lives that I look at them and I see myself. You know, I see my own selfishness, or I see my own, you know, ridiculousness, or I see my own, you know, explosiveness, and I see that in them, and man, it drives me crazy, because I go, man, they're so much like me, and the question is, man, why are they like me? And the answer we all know, they are like me, they are like you, they're like us, because they're looking at us. Man, because they're watching us. Man, they're studying us. They're examining our lives. They're emulating our lives. They're impersonating our lives. And as they grow, the habits that they form, the habits that they develop, are generally the things that they have seen played out before them in our own lives. I mean, everyone across society, they'll teach you these things. Man, the importance of having good role models, the importance of having good people to look up to, the importance of family structure and societal structures in the life of a kid. Why? Because what that kid sees, because what that child looks at, man, that's what that child will reproduce. That's what that child will replicate over and over and over in his life. Man, what's happening on this mountain? Man, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, man, they are getting a picture of Jesus. They are looking at Jesus. They're becoming awe-inspired. They have this worship-invoking experience with Jesus on the mountain. Man, they're beholding Jesus on the mountain. We will become like what we behold. Man, the things that we examine, the people that we watch, the people that we aspire to be, that is what will be replicated, duplicated in our lives over and over and over again. That's why so many young men in their 20s and their 30s, man, they think they got the jump shot like Kobe, you know? But they don't, right? They're trying, but it's a cheap imitation. Everybody running around wearing the number 24, wearing the number 8. It's not the number, it was the guy wearing the number, you know? It's not the shoes, it was the guy wearing the shoes. That's what made the difference. Man, but they look up to him, they emulate him, they want to be him. We become like what we behold. We become like what we behold. So this is a very, very specific question that we're going to aim at this morning. What are you beholding? And what are you looking at? Who is it in your life that you're saying, that's what I want, that's what I want to be like, those are the habits I want to have? Man, that's the direction, that's the aim. That is the duplication that I want to see over and over. And my prayer this morning is that as we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, man, that we will want to be like Christ. Man, we will want to live like Christ, not in the sense that we will be divine like Jesus was divine. Certainly, we cannot become that. But in the sense of wanting His character to be our character. Wanting His love to be our love. Wanting His life to be our life. Wanting His tendencies to become like our tendencies. That while we lift up Christ from Matthew chapter 17, that we will have a desire to not just lift up Christ, but that we will have a desire to also live like Christ. Man, this mountain is the mountain Hermon. Mount Hermon is where Jesus is ascending to with these disciples, 9,400 feet above sea level. And the important thing about this, and so many commentators, they talk about all the importance of Mount Hermon and all that it stood for. But listen, the importance of this mountain is not the location of the mountain. The importance of the mountain is what took place on the mountain. This is what Peter writes about in 1 Peter chapter 1. When he writes his letter to the churches, he writes and he says, that was a high mountain and it became a holy mountain. Man, something happened on that mountain. It was not just a high mountain, but that it became a holy mountain. Why? Why did that high mountain, 9,400 feet above sea level, why did it become a holy mountain? It became a holy mountain because of what took place on the mountain. What took place on the mountain? The answer is Jesus revealed the glory of God as seen in Him, as He represented. Man, He, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled Himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Why? For us. Man, why? For you, for me. Man, this is the love of God. Man, this is the love of God as seen. Seen where? How do we see the love of God? As seen in the glory of Christ. And this is the love of God. As seen in the glory of Christ. Man, why? Because Jesus on that mountain transfigured, transformed. It's where we get our word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. It's what happens to the caterpillar as he turns into the butterfly. It's what happens to the junior high boy entering seventh grade. Man, senior high boy exiting 10th grade. Metamorphosis, right? Changing. So squeaky voice, pimply face. Man, comes in a boy, goes out a man. Several men around the room, several men and women around the room stood just a moment ago, our veterans. Man, they went in one way, they came out another. What was boot camp? Metamorphosis, right? It was a time of being transformed. It was a time of being made into. Man, the life of Christ transforms us. The life of Christ transforms us. It changes us. It's a metamorphosis. It's a caterpillar butterfly moment. It transforms the way we feel. It transforms the way we think. It transforms the way we act. It transforms the way we worship. It transforms us. That high mountain transformed to a holy mountain, that place of Baal transformed into that mountain of God. It is transformed. Those three disciples, Peter, James, John, man, they're businessmen, they're fishermen, they're brothers, they're associates. They come down off the mountain transformed. Why? Because not because of the mountain, but because of what took place on the mountain. Man, not because of the location of the mountain. That's not it. Man, it was one who was revealed to them on the mountain. Let's start there. Number one, the person in the vision. You have a handout. You can follow along. That's how we plan to keep you awake this morning, all right? So number one, the person in the vision. Look at the person in the vision. Man, verse number two, and he was transfigured. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine, personal pronouns, his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. Man, what's he doing on that mountain? He's giving James, John, Peter, he's giving them a glimpse of his glory. It's as if the curtain is pulled back. The disciples now, the curtain being pulled back. How many of you know in the mornings you're sleeping in? Man, you pull the curtain as tight as you can. Whenever Amanda and I, we get a day off, or man, we're vacationing together, it's just us without the kids. Man, we go to the hotel room, we pull the curtain all the way. We double the curtain over. Man, we put pillows across the top. We put sheets on the side. Why? No light coming in. I don't want any light disrupting my sleep. Man, pull it. And then what happens? Somebody walks over to the curtain. Whoosh, they pull the curtain back. Ah, you're blinded, right? Man, what's happening on the mountain? What's happening on the mountain? Man, the curtain is pulled. Man, the curtain of the Lord Jesus Christ being pulled back so they can see. Only the light is not shining out. The light is shining from within. Shining from within is coming from Christ. Man, he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. This whole approach in Matthew has been teaching us this. He's been pointing our attention to who Christ is. This is who Jesus is. This is of utmost importance. Whom do you say that I am? Well, some people say you're like John the Baptist. Well, some people say you're like Moses. Some people say you're just like a prophet. Right. But who do you say that I am? It's a personal question. Man, Jesus pulling back the curtain, revealing, transfiguring. Great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh. And great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. Think of that this morning. God robed in flesh. God wrapped in flesh. God wearing flesh. That's what Jesus was. And when they saw him as he is, 1 John chapter 3, and when they saw him as he is, man, they saw him, they were transformed by him. His transfiguration, his revealing of the glory of God, man, that made them more like him. If you see Jesus for who he is, for what he has done, it moves you. When you see Jesus for who he is, for what he has done, it transforms you. When you see Jesus for who he is and what he has done, it changes you. The love of Christ, Paul said, is the love of Christ that constrains me, ties me up, binds me up. The love that Christ displayed when he went to the cross, when he died a sacrificial death, when he was laid in the grave, and then when he rose from the dead. When I see that, it changes me. If you see Jesus for who he is, if you see Jesus for what he has done, it moves you. Notice this, the person in the vision, he invites them into the presence. That's letter A. He invites them into the presence of God. He bringeth them up. Look at verse number 1. Jesus taketh Peter, James, John, and he bringeth them up into a high mountain. Man, he brought them up. James would write about this later. Chapter 4, James says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Hear me this morning. You can be as close to God as you want to be. You can be as close to God as you want to be. Sometimes I'll meet people in the back, or they'll come by my office and they'll say, listen, Pastor, I just feel like God is so distant. I feel like God is so far away. You can be as close to God as you want to be. In fact, you are as close to God as you want to be. You can be as close as you want to be. In fact, you are as close as you want to be. You are as close to God as you want to be. This is the disciples. He bringeth them up. You can experience the fullness and the love and the care and the power and the might of the Lord and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Man, God is no respecter of persons. Yeah, Pastor, but you don't know what I did. You don't know what I said. You don't know where I went. You don't know the things that I've done. Hey, I don't have to know. God knows. God knows all. God sees all. God understands all. God is no respecter of persons. God knows you inside and out, and He still wants to have a relationship with you. And you can be as close to God as you want to be. But when you approach God, you must approach Him the right way and through the right things. Man, all religion, you can be as close to God as you want to be. Just try harder, be more moral, have more, you know, civility, give more money to the church, have more religiousness. Man, that's not the way to get to God. There's only one way to God. The way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No man gets to God but through Jesus Christ. Man, you can be as close as you want to be, but that road, that door, that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you can be as close as you want to be, but the road, the door, the way, that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, sometimes people will say, you know, I just wish I were closer to God. I just wish I were closer to people at the church. You're as close to people in the church as you want to be. You have as many friends in church as you want to have. Man, Solomon, thousands of years ago, man, for a man to have friends, he must show himself, finish it, friendly. And you have as many friends as you want to have. You have as many spiritual mentors as you want to have. You have as many people speaking life into your life as you want to have. Man, you can be as close as to God as you want to be. You got to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have as many friends here speaking life into your life as you want to have, if you want to have them. Now look, if you want to slip in on Sunday, come in about 11:15. That's about the time most people get here, about 11:15. But 11:15, and then slip out right before the end. Man, slip out right before the dismissal. And then go, I don't have any friends at the church. You don't have them because you don't want to have them. You don't have them because you want to have them. You can have as many friends as you want to have. Man, you can be as close to God as you want to be, but you must come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He invites them into the presence of God. He invites you and me into the presence of God, the way to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, but he invites him into his presence, letter B, he radiates the splendor of God. Is it hot in here to anybody else, or is it just me? It's just me, of course. Pastor, you're hot. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. There you go. I'm taking that off because I am burning up. I think the heater is on. Yeah, me and Brother George. All right. He transfigured before them. Look at this. And his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. Man, the writer of Hebrews, who, speaking of Christ, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. What's happening on this mountain? Pastor, what's happening on this mountain? Man, he is revealing the glory of God to them. He's telling them, he's teaching them, and by way of teaching them, he's teaching us. You can be as close to God as you want to be, but that door, that way, that road is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That door, that way, that road is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's inviting them into his presence, but he is radiating the splendor. He's radiating the power. He's radiating the demonstration. He's shining off the demonstration of God's power. Why? Because when we see him as he is, it makes us more like him. Why? Because we become like what we behold. Man, because we will do what we look at, the way that boy, that girl, my son, my daughter, the way they mimic, they have the same tendencies, habits as me. Man, the same way they look at me and they make their own choices, own decisions, they follow after me the same way. The more we look at Christ, the more we become like Christ. Man, the person in the vision, it's Jesus Christ. Man, who do men say that I am? Last chapter. Who do men say that I am? Man, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, what a title. What a recognition. Man, the person in the vision. Number two, the people who visited. The people who visited. Peter, James, John. We know they're there. Jesus, we know he's there. But look at verse number three. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said, verse 4, unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And it is a good thing to watch. This is a good thing to see. This is a good thing to come to know. Man, Moses and Elijah talking with Christ. Moses and Elijah talking about Christ. Moses and Elijah calling our attention to Christ. Now, here's what I want to show you why. Why Moses, why Elijah? Man, Moses and Elijah are on this scene as way to help us understand who Jesus is in this way, two ways. First, Moses reflected the glory of God. You remember the story in Exodus chapter 34? Man, Mount Sinai, man, they receive the law. The mountain shakes. The rocks of the mountains move. All of Israel, terrified of the mountain. Moses goes up into the mountain. The cloud descends on top of the mountain. Exodus chapter 34, if you want to read it for homework. Moses goes up into the mountain. All of Israel afraid. Moses moves his way up. And when he gets to the mountain, he talks with God. And he asks God, show me your glory. God picks up Moses, puts him behind the rock, and hiding Moses behind the rock, he passed by Moses, and the Bible says that Moses saw the back of God as God passed by. And when Moses came down out of the mountain, Exodus chapter 34, verse number 29, Moses comes out of the mountain, the Bible says his face shine. Man, he comes down from the mountain holding the His face did shine. What was Moses doing? Moses reflected. He reflected the glory of God. Moses was not the glory of God. No man can see God and live. Moses was not the glory of God, but Moses reflected. He got a really bad sunburn. He reflected the glory of God so that all of Israel looked at Moses coming down off the mountain, holding the law of God, saw him and said, wow, that guy has seen and been with God. Moses on the mountain of Sinai, man, he reflected the glory of God. Number two, letter B, Elijah represented the glory of God. Moses reflected it, Exodus 34. Elijah represented, 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah goes to the mountain of Carmel. He goes to, it's not a mountain of Carmel and chocolate. Don't get that out of your mind. That's lunch. That's later. That's not Elijah. He goes to the mountain of Carmel, and there on that mountain, man, the prophets of Baal challenge him. If your God is real, well then, whoever calls fire first, they win. It was like, my God's better than your God moment. Man, the prophets of Baal, they call out, they cut themselves. Elijah stands over the side, he goes, hey, I think you should scream louder, because your God must have his ears plugged. He must be busy, he can't hear you. Cry out. Elijah says, finally, are you done? They put the sacrifice there. They douse it with water. They build a trench around the sacrifice. They fill that with water. Elijah prays 38 words. 1 Kings 19 prays 38 words. Fire falls from heaven, consumes the sacrifice, consumes the altar, dries up all the water around the altar. Elijah takes the prophets of Baal. He goes outside the city and he kills them all. It's really kind of a terrible story. He goes outside of the city. Man, Moses reflected it. What happened on the mountain of Carmel? What happened? Man, Elijah represented the glory of God. But hear me, Elijah was not the glory of God. Moses was not the glory of God. Moses in his ministry and in his life, he reflected it. Elijah in his ministry and his life, he represented the glory, but only Christ reveals the glory of God. That's letter C. Jesus reveals the glory of God. Man, John chapter 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of God. Man, God robed himself in flesh. The Word in the beginning, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Who is that talking about? If you said Jesus, you got it right. If you said Elijah, you got it wrong. Man, Moses is only as good as he points us to Christ. Elijah is only as good as he points us to Christ. You say, Pastor, why Elijah and why Moses? Why does God allow both of them to be on this mountain at this moment? And here's why. They both signify the importance of the law. Moses wrote the law. First five books of the Bible, they both signify the importance of the law, and Elijah signifies the importance of the prophets. They both signify the importance of the law and of the prophets. Man, it's a wonderful illustration. It's a visual aid. God is giving Peter, James, and John, and by way of them, us, he's giving them a visual aid. What is Jesus all about? What was Moses all about? What was Elijah all about? What is the Bible all about? It's all about, hear me, church, Jesus Christ. What's it all about? It's all about Jesus. Moses, only as good as he points us to Jesus. Elijah, only as good as he points us to Jesus. So Simon Peter goes, man, this is a good thing for us to be here. Wow, this is wonderful. That was true. Man, this is a good thing. Let's build three tabernacles. And I love God interrupts the scene. Peter, be quiet. Sit down. And shut up. I don't know if God says shut up or not. I don't know about that. But sit down and be quiet. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Same thing that God said about Jesus when he was baptized in Matthew chapter 3. As he goes down into the water, John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. As he comes up, a dove descends. And when that happens, the voice from heaven, the voice from God, this is my son. Man, a lot of people wrestling, struggling. Who's Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Who's Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Man, the voice from heaven, the disciples fall on their face. Verse number 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. This is proof that when you come into the presence of God, you don't come into the presence of God accusing. You don't come into the presence of God throwing accusation. You say, well, I got problems with God. When you come into God's presence, you hit the ground. You know what I mean? Man, fall on their face, sore afraid. But look at this, verse 7, and Jesus came over and touched them. Man, the power of personal touch. Over and over in the Bible, you see the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry, he had compassion on them and he touched them and they were given sight. He had compassion on them and he touched them and they were healed. Man, sometimes it's just a friendly, calm, peaceful hand that we need to feel on our shoulder. It's going to be okay. Man, here the disciples, they're afraid, on their face, trembling before God. Peter is a good guy. Man, Peter's a bad guy. That fast, good to bad, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Back and forth they go. Man, here he comes. He touches them. He says, it's going to be okay. Arise. Look at verse 8. You say, what's this all about? What's this whole mountain? What's it about? Verse number 8, and when they lifted up their eyes, do you see it? Verse 8, they lifted up their eyes. They saw no man. Say the next three words with me. Ready? Save Jesus only. Jesus only. Man, what's Moses about? Jesus only. Well, what's Elijah about? Jesus only. What's this church? Pastor, we'd like to talk to you. What's this church all about? It's about Jesus Christ and him only. Man, because on no other foundation can any man build except that which was laid by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about opinion or preference or idea or, well, I heard this one time, this one church did this one thing. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, buried, and risen again from the grave. Jesus only. Hey, listen, I'm as a pastor, as a church, man, as a pastor, I'm only as good as I point our attention to Jesus. Man, as a church, we're only as good as we point people's attention to Jesus. As a parent, you're only as good as you point your children to Jesus. As a grandparent, you're only as good as you point them to Jesus Christ. Man, Jesus only. They lifted up their eyes. They saw Jesus and him only. Man, and if I be lifted up, Christ says, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Man, not if Dave Delaney's lifted up. Man, he's likable. Man, he's likable. Man, he's charismatic. Well, he certainly is handsome. Man, but not if a person, a preference, a personality, only if the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up. Man, to the degree that we are lifting him up is the degree that God will bless our church. And to the degree that we're lifting up preferences or opinion, or I liked him better, this pastor, he's too loud, or he's too long, or, you know, whatever. I mean, man, to the degree that we're lifting up Jesus, they saw Jesus only. Man, church, let's turn our eyes to Jesus. Let's turn our eyes to Jesus. And looking unto Jesus, Hebrews says, and looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Want to finish your Christian journey? You want to make it the next lap of your Christian journey? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Man, keep your eyes on Jesus. Number three, the priority of his voice. The priority of his voice. Look at verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Man, if you could only see what I see sometimes. You do know I can see your face, right? I just want everyone to know that. He's all rolling there. I watched you do that. We're going to talk about that at the door on the way back, all right? While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. Man, what's he calling his attention to? He's calling their attention to the Word of God. This is why we preach the way we do. Hang around here long enough, next chapter, next book, next verse, next book, book by book, chapter by chapter. Why? Because it's the Bible that gives us hope. It's the Bible that gives us grace. It's the Bible that gives us peace. It's the Bible that gives us instructions. Man, that the Word of God may be that the man of God may be perfectly furnished unto all good works. How do we know what to do next? You spend time in the Bible, that's how. It's the whole counsel of God that instructs us. Last one, the preparation for the valley. Because I don't want you to miss this. I tied these two points together for a reason. I said, I don't want you to miss this. Man, wouldn't it be great if life could just be lived on the mountain? Man, wouldn't it be great if life could just be lived? Man, God revealing himself to us. Man, these unbelievable experiences with Christ. Man, these unbelievable spiritually changing moments. Wouldn't it be great if life could just be lived on the mountain somewhere? Yeah, it would. But that's not the way it is it? Life isn't just lived on the mountain. Man, look, on the mountain, look at verse number 9. And as they came down from the mountain. And as they came down from the mountain, look at verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, they came down from the mountain and they went to the crowd. And there came to him a certain man kneeling down, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, my son, for he is lunatic. He must have been a junior hire. He is lunatic. Sore vexed. I have two of them, so I'm allowed to say that. He is lunatic and sore vexed. Man, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him. Hey, listen, we don't stay on the mountain. We go down to the people in the valley. Can I tell you what your neighbors need? They need to know that you saw the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. And you know what your neighbors need? They don't need you on a mountain. Man, they need you loving, leading, serving, giving, caring, reaching out, nice notes, encouraging words, a friendly visit when you know their mom or sister or aunt was in the hospital. Man, we don't just stay on the mountain. Man, the God we worship on the mountain, he gives us the grace, the strength, the understanding, the know-how to live in the valley and to meet the needs of the people around us. Man, the God we worship on the mountain gives us the wisdom we need to serve the people around us. Man, we go back into our communities to tell someone who needs to hear about the love of Christ. Man, we go back to our workplaces and we witness about the one that we worship. Man, we go back to our families and we tell them about the good love of a great God as revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't stay on the mountain. We go back down into the valley. Man, it's in the valley. It's in the valley where needs are met. It's in the valley where needs are met. I'm sure the dad at this point, verse 17, 18, the child is cured. I'm sure the dad at this point said, it's good for me to be here. It's good for me to be here. Why? Because he couldn't make it up the mountain. The son couldn't make up the mountain. And this is really the whole point of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? That though we cannot get to God, God came to us. Man, we can't get to him. So he came to us. We were separated from God because of our sin. We could not make it to God. So God came to us. You know what your coworkers need to hear about? They need to hear about that God. You know what your neighbors need to hear about? They need about that God. What your friends, family, you know what they need to hear about? They need to hear about that God. Man, we witness of the God that we worship. The question we started with this morning, who are you looking at? Because who you behold is what you'll become. Man, who are you looking at? Because who you behold is what you'll become. Man, let's keep our eyes on Jesus so we can serve our neighbors like Jesus would serve our neighbors. And let's keep our eyes on Jesus so we can be for our community what Christ would be for our community if he were here. Man, we are the body of Christ. Man, we're his hands, we're his feet, we're his eyes, we're his heart. We are the body of Christ for all those around us. So let's make sure we keep our eyes on him. Let's make sure we're looking at him so that we can live like him. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you.